Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, brothers and sisters, on this holy and glorious Saturday. I want to deal with today a topic that is very interesting because for the past maybe 20 or 30 years, maybe a little bit longer than that, probably not that long because I know it's been at least since the 90s, we have this thing among our Pentecostal brothers and sisters calling themselves princes in the Lord's church. And I want to take time to deal with that and talk about today what, if anything, ask the question, is it biblical? We want to talk about the history behind it. We want to look at the who are actually the princes in the Lord's church. And hopefully we can add some truth here and dispel myths and really, really, really be a blessing to the body of Christ. Because I find that many of our brothers and sisters are using stuff and that they should not be using. They are using things to make them look like they're greater or better than other people, and they don't understand the history behind much of the stuff that they're using. And they use things that people have taught them to use that may not have been taught to them correctly. And so today we want to talk about princes in the Lord's church, and we want to talk about this. First of all, how did this term prince in the Lord's church come about? I'm glad that you asked. This term prince in the Lord's church came from exclusively the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church, their cardinals, are the impetus, so to speak, of where we get this term princes in the Lord's church. Then, later on in feudal, notice I said the word feudal, Europe, there were, watch this, not every bishop, because I had a clergy who's not too long ago became a priest, try to argue me down about this, and his information was off. There, in feudal Europe, was a very few bishops, who had princely authority. Even in England, there was only a few bishops who were considered to be prince bishops. Even though 24 bishops who sit in the House of Lords are not considered to be prince bishops. They're not. I don't care what anybody told you. You can ask the bishops in the Church of England yourself. Those 24 bishops that sit in the House of Lords are considered to be lords, spiritual. Not princes, but Lord spirituals. And they sit in the House of Lords. They are not princes in the Lord's church. I have an article here from the Sunday Visitor where Matthew Bunsen from the Catholic Answer talks about princes in the Lord of the church and what is a cardinal. And he goes on, and I want to pick up here. He says, simply put, a cardinal is a priest or a bishop who has been named by the Pope to what is known as the Sacred College of Cardinals, so called because it is a body or college of church officials. They are called cardinals because of the origin of their name, which is the Latin word cardo, meaning a hinge or pivot, denoting that they are key counselors or pivots for the whole church. And because of their status as being connected to the Holy See, these cardinals began to be called princes of the Roman Catholic Church. Matter of fact, more specifically, the Holy Roman Church. Something that you may not know is that every cardinal has citizenship in the Vatican, because the Vatican is a city-state. It is a country. And every cardinal in the Roman Catholic Church has citizenship in at the Vatican. They have Vatican citizenship. Very interesting. So then, brothers and sisters, not all bishops, princes. I know you what you've been taught. Watch this. Let's take it a step further, because if you notice some of the questions that I have here presented on the blog, and we're going to continue on the cardinal things in a minute. We answered what is a prince bishop. Prince bishop were bishop in certain principalities. Notice where principalities, who because of the king or pope or emperor at the time gave them the rights of princes in that particular principality. Principality, prince, principality. Are you making the connection? And so certain, not all bishops had this kind of authority. Every bishop had a throne, but not every bishop has that authority to be a prince. And so there was a few prince bishops in England. There was a few of them in Europe. All cardinals were considered to be princes of the church, however. The Methodist episcopacy does not have prince bishops. I know some people think that, but they don't. They call them superintendents. If you look at the Methodist discipline, it speaks of a general superintendency, not a priestly order of bishops. Matter of fact, Methodists do not even have an order of bishops. They have an, if you look at any Methodist discipline, it was said that there are two orders of ministry, deacon and elder. And there's one office of ministry. And the office of ministry is, for them, is the episcopacy. And every bishop in the Methodist Church, watch this, is still an ordained elder. He's not ordained a bishop. He's consecrated a bishop. This is specific because even though the word consecration and ordain is used interchangeably with the church, but the word ordain from ordo, means literally, he said, Wesley and everyone in the Methodist movement says that in the Methodist church, their bishop is not a separate order, but just an office that elders can hold, a presidency, a superintendency that the elders, certain elders, hold over the rest of the clergy. This does not make them princes. This just makes them superintendents, because the word episcopal and episcopacy and episcopos does not mean prince. Okay, let me go back to the article from the Sunday Visitor and give you a little bit more information here. There are three types of cardinals. Well, first, let's go here. For many centuries, certain laymen were also made cardinals. This practice was finally abolished in 1917 when church law made it necessary for all cardinals to be priests of outstanding learning, piety, judgment, and ability. This means that in the Code of Canon Law of 1917, it made it necessary that cardinals could no longer be laymen, but they could be priests. So now the priests of the Roman diocese became cardinals. To add to the significance of cardinals in the church, in 1962, Pope John the 23rd commanded that each cardinal should be consecrated a bishop, if he was not already one. The Pope, however, permitted a new cardinal to be appointed without episcopal consecration. This is interesting to note because this was incorporated in the 1983 Code of Canon Law for the Roman Catholic Church, that a cardinal does not have to be a bishop. A priest, if he's appointed cardinal, can petition the Holy See not to be made a bishop. Today, there are three types of cardinals. There's the cardinal bishop, originated out of the actual bishops of the suffragan diocese that surround Rome. It's called the Subcarbian Sees. That is the diocese of neighboring Rome. Today, cardinal bishops are the senior members of the College of Cardinals who are engaged in full-time service in the Roman Curia. The patriarchs of the Eastern Catholic Churches are also assigned rank among the cardinal bishops. Cardinal priests today are officials of the Roman Curia or bishops whose dioceses are outside of Rome, such as the Archbishop of Chicago, the Archbishop of Paris, the Archbishop of New York, the Archbishop of Mexico City. All of these are considered to be cardinal priests. They hold the title of a particular church in Rome, a historic reminder of the early custom of clergy of Rome participating in the election of the Pope. Cardinal deacons are titular bishops assigned to full-time service in the Roman Curia and are theologians or theologians honored by the Pope for their contributions to the church. Cardinal deacons are reminiscent of the seven deacons who once administered the historic district of Rome and the deacons who assisted the papal household. They hold a title to assignment to one of the deaconaries of Rome. This is interesting, deaconaries of Rome, because at one time, instead of having, like we have district superintendents and presiding elders and overseers, the deacons was the one who ran the districts in Rome, not the elders, not the priests, but the deacons. That's interesting. That's a whole nother blog talk program there in and of itself. A cardinal becomes a cardinal when he gets a ticket, from the Pope, and this ticket informs them of their honor of being made a cardinal. They go to the Vatican for a formal ceremony called a consistory, where they are made a pope. Originally, Pope Sixtus V decreed that there should be 70 members, and then the number remained unchanged until 1958 when Pope Blessed John the 23rd increased its number by 5 to 75. That number grew steadily so that today there are around 180 cardinals. By papal decree, no more than 120 are eligible to vote in a conclave to elect a new pope, although it has been set aside a few times during the reign of John Paul II. At the age of 80, cardinals lose their right to take part in a papal election, but their council is still prized by the pope. Well, Bishop Henry, why did you read all of that? To let you know that in the church today, there are really only 180 Roman Catholic cardinals today who are considered to be princes of the church. There are about, there's one bishop who is not a cardinal, who has a diocese that borders Belgium and France. This particular bishop is considered to be a bishop. He's a Roman Catholic bishop. He's a prince bishop. He's not a cardinal, but he's only a prince bishop because his diocese is actually a small city-state. That his diocese, he is the co-sovereign for this particular diocese / city-state, along with the president of France. There is a couple of more prince bishops throughout Europe, and there is one bishop whose diocese was like the last remaining remnant of the prince bishops in England. I cannot think of that diocese offhand. But just trying to give you a few facts today, because a lot of people are speaking and talking about things, and they don't have any evidence. They don't even know know what's going on, and they believe all this stuff and hold all this stuff dear, and you've been taught stuff that cannot be verified. So are bishops princes in the church today? I just told you just then, a few moments ago, there are only one real prince bishop that I know of for fact. That's the one between that diocese that is both in Belgium and France. That bishop is a co-regent with the president of France. You can look that up. There's probably maybe about two or three other what we call prince bishops still in Europe. But prince in the Lord's church, that is a Roman Catholic title. Let me say it again. That is a Roman Catholic title for their cardinals. They say if you want to hide something from people, put it in a book. Well, this is online. Look up the English version of the Roman Catholic Code of Canon Law of 1983. Look under when it talks about the particular churches. Look up bishops. Notice it nowhere in that Code of Canon Law does it call the average diocesan bishop a prince. Look in the Church of England. They do not call their bishops princes. Interesting. The Church of England does not call their bishops princes. Catholic Church only called their cardinals princes today, because most of their bishops do not have a fiefdom, what they are over as a prince. Okay, so we got an issue here, though, because there are a lot of Pentecostal and Baptist bishops today calling themselves princes in the church. And this is something that is foreign to Protestant Christianity. And it is foreign to the scriptures, because the Bible says that we are kings, we are a kingdom of kings and priests unto our God. We are a kingdom, king's dominion. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He didn't call us princes. He said we are kings and priests. So we got a few folks here grabbing on to titles, trying to be great, and don't even understand where these titles come from, princes in the church. We are not Roman Catholics. Roman Catholics, cardinals are considered to be princes. And this is proven. There's a book, a garment book, the customs of the prelates of the Roman Holy Roman Church. I think I named that book correctly. It talks about cardinals, even without episcopal authority, outranks diocesan bishop. If every bishop in the church is a prince, then they should have, why should one prince give up unless he's the successor to the throne? Like the Prince of Wales is to Queen Elizabeth. Why should he give up his throne for someone who is supposed to be equal in rank with him? Most people think that, and then let's deal with it, since I'm dealing with cardinals and the princes of the church today. Most people don't understand why cardinals wear red. The cardinal wear a shade of red called scarlet. Scarlet is red, but it's a different shade of red. That custom began in the year 1245 when Pope Innocent IV bestowed the red hat upon cardinals. Scarlet is meant to remind the cardinals that they must be willing to give themselves for the church, even to the point of shedding their blood. New cardinals receive several symbols as with their new title, a zucchetto and a beretta, and a ring. The zucchetto is the skull cap. The beretta, they used to get a wide-brim hat. Today they get the beretta. The skull cap and beretta are placed on the cardinal's head, and the cardinals at that time, when the Pope placed on his head, and put the ring on his finger, and the ring represents the cardinal dignity, pastoralism, and communion with the Holy See. That cardinal officially becomes, that cardinal-elect becomes, that's interesting. He's called cardinal-elect, even though one man, and only one man, makes cardinals. And only one man chooses who cardinals are. It's interesting. He's called elect, though one man chooses him. Lord have mercy. I'm about to get happy here because, you know, truth is something else. When you can declare truth against a lot of the error that's being proffered out there. Each cardinal must make a confession, an oath, to the Pope. They say, they mention their first and last name, Cardinal of the Holy Roman Church, promise to swear to be faithful and henceforth forever while I live to Christ and to his gospel, being consistently obedient to the Holy Roman Apostolic Church, to Blessed Peter in the person of the Roman Pontiff, and they mention the current Pope's name, and of his canonically elected successors, that's a good thing there, we're going to have to talk about another day, to maintain communion with the Catholic Church always in word and deed, not to reveal to anyone what is confided to me in secret, nor to divulge what may bring harm or dishonor to the Holy Church, to carry out with great diligence and faithfulness those tasks to which I am called by my service to the Church in accordance with the norms of law, so help me, Almighty God. So again, all of this today is to reinforce this particular teaching today that cardinals are the only princes of the church. cardinals, not bishops, cardinals, are the princes of the church. Cardinals. Cardinals. Are you understanding this? I'm repeating myself because I want you to really understand this truth, understand this particular principle that I'm trying to communicate to you today, that cardinals, I know what we've been taught, but the truth outshine any error that anyone can teach or have taught. The cardinals are princes, not the bishops, not the bishops. So, and we have a few folks who have begin to use the title cardinals outside of the Roman Catholic Church. There are a few bishops, some are black, some are white, are using the title cardinal outside of the Roman Catholic Church. And we are not cardinals of the Catholic Church. We're not bishops in the Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church. We're not bishops in their church. So why are we using the title prince? Because our dignity in the body of Christ is even greater than that. Our dignity in the lowest church is greater than that. Because watch this. We use the title, say, the bishop or the princes, but every one of us, every believer in Jesus Christ, is both a king and a priest. That's what the scripture says. So how is it that we have a few bishops who have demoted themselves from what the Bible calls them? We are kings and priests in the Lord's church. We are not princes in this church. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us not to lord it over the flock of God. This is one of those things in the book of Revelation that the Lord had issue with. He had issue with what we call the Nicolaitans. Literally, Nico meaning to crush. And Laotans.
Amen.
And so God is against those who try to crush and suppress the laity in the church. Because if you look at the history of the church, for a long time, for a very long time in the church, worship was only done at the altar by a select few. Worship was not done by everybody. And it seems like the enemy is so busy in the church today to try to take us from what we have come to and take us back to where we have been, which is not biblical. Because worship is not only to be done just around an altar by a select few, but worship is supposed to be done by all of us. Good God from Zion. We are not supposed to suppress the laity. We are not supposed to lord it over God's people. We are called by God to be servants.
That's right.
And that's what's messing up the body of Christ today. We have forgot that we are servants of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, we got people today that are so stuck on titles that they don't know how to be. Paul said we have this diaconia, this ministry. People, you got people, apostles who say, I'm not a glorified deacon, but Paul said, I have a diaconia. I have a ministry. I am a servant. I am a deacon of the Lord. We have got this thing in us that we need to really divorce from our concept, our thinking, that this thing that we are called to serve, not be served. If Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve, what make us think that we are greater than our Lord? For Jesus says in the book of John that the servants are not greater than his Lord, neither is he greater than he that has sent him. And if Jesus had to come and serve, we need to be servants as well, because our greatness is not tied into calling ourselves a prince, which we are not. Our greatness is tied into us being what God called us to be, which is servant, because he's not going to say in that day, prince, well done. Hallelujah. He's not going to say in that day, bishop, well done. He's not going to say in that day, cardinal, well done. He's not going to say in that day, Catholicos, well done. He's not going to say in that day, patriarch, well done. He's not going to say in that day, apostle, well done. He's not going to say in that day, pastor, well done. He's not going to say in that day, evangelist, well done. He's not going to say in that day, prophet, well done. But he's going to do what the gospel says. If you fought the good fight of faith, if you are saved and you are called by his name and your name is written in the Lamb book of life, he will say, servant. Oh, bless his name. Hallelujah be to God. He will say, servant, well done. Bless his name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Servant, well done. So the greatest title in the church is not you parading around like you somebody's prince, because you're not somebody's prince. You're just a servant of Jesus Christ. At least that's what you're supposed to be. I promise you, that's probably why there's no power in the church today. I promise you that's why there's no anointing in the church today, because we have kicked Jesus off the throne and we made ourselves princes. And no wonder our bishops can't cast out devils. No wonder our apostles can't cast out demons. No wonder people pray and folks don't get healed, because we think we're the Lord of our church, and we're not the Lord of our church. Jesus is Lord of lords. He's King of kings. He is God, not us.
Glory.
We are supposed to serve. Sir,
hallelujah.
We are called to serve, brothers and sisters. Be servants of God.
Hallelujah.
Because that's where the power is. That's where the glory is. To be a servant of the cross. Paul said, I'm a slave, a doulos. I'm a slave of the cross. I'm a slave of the cross. I know sometimes, especially we as blacks, we hate to use words like that, but you got to understand, this is not one of those slaves like they had in America back in the 1800s and the 1500s and 1600s, but we're talking about being a servant of our Lord, our Master Jesus Christ. Because when we learn how to serve him, we tap into the power that is in his life. We tap into the power that is in his name. We tap into the glory that he has. And we become partakers of what he has. We got a powerless church today where people can't even come in and get delivered no more, because we got men sitting up there and we got people sitting in the church thinking they are something that they are not.
So true.
Filling God's glory. Okay. We should not be calling ourselves something we are not. Why are you taking a demotion and calling yourself a prince in the church when the scripture says you are a king? I'm the king. Oh, bless his name. You are a priest of our God. Not just you, because you're a clergy, but even the lay people. We're all priests. We all are priests of God. Priests of God. Hallelujah be to God. Are you hearing me, what I'm saying? We are called to be servants. There's a hymn in these last 90 seconds I got here. There's a hymn that my granddad sang that blesses me a whole lot. Is a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never dying soul to save. I want it fitted for the sky. To serve, watch this. It says to serve the present age, my calling to fulfill. The word calling there is vocation, calling. The greatest vocation in the church is not pastor. The greatest vocation in the church is not apostle. The greatest vocation in the church is not elder. The greatest vocation in the church is not all these great titles. The greatest vocation in the church is a servant, to serve the present age. My calling to fulfill. Then the hymn closes off and says these words, oh, may it all my power engage, because I want to do my master's will. I don't know about you today, but I want to do his will. I want to one day, I don't want to hear him say, Bishop Henry, well done. I don't want to hear him say, Apostle Henry, well done, or Pastor Henry, well done. But one day, good God from Zion, I want to see my Savior, and I want to hear my Savior say, servant, well done. Well done.
Hallelujah.
Well done. God bless you. You have a great and wonderful day.
Amen.